Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
What we're talking about is faith in action. You know, it's one, faith in action involves a lot of things, but it involves making the right choice to agree with Him over our nature. That's part of it. But see, faith not only agrees with what the Lord does, it learns how to be thankful and to rejoice and to have a positive attitude. And I'll say this, you know, I use this testimony I've referred to many times, and I referred to it last week of what I went through when I sort of stopped seeking the Lord for a few days, and then the Lord worked on me. And what I emphasized last week was that it came from the inside. Well, what I didn't say was what the issue was. And the issue was that I was around people, I think I've mentioned this at a time or two, I was around people who were having experiences and emphasizing experiences. And I wanted one. Why are you leaving me out? Lord God, I don't feel you. I don't have, what's wrong? Why can't I break through? And what the Lord finally brought me to after several days of pouting was a simple conviction. Lord, I'm going to serve you if I never have a feeling. Now, I have had times when the Lord's drawn near, but He's kind of held me to that too, because, you know, faith and feelings are kind of different. It's easy to serve the Lord if you just felt exhilarated all the time, and you'd call that serving the Lord. But how about when you don't? How about when you're where David was in Psalm 13? Where are you, Lord? How long am I going to keep praying and I don't seem to make any contact? You don't act like you're listening. I can't tell if you're listening. And he goes on and on. But you know, even David, back then, knowing what he knew, didn't know anything about the coming, about Christ coming and all of the second new covenant, hadn't experienced that, but he knew enough to say, but I'm going to still praise you. You see, their faith is actually a choice as to what we, it's a choice of what we do, but it's a choice of how we do it. And it doesn't wait for the feelings. God is going to put every one of us in circumstances where every natural emotion is against what He wants us to do. Every natural circumstance is against it. The facts on the ground are against it. Think of what Abraham went through when he believed God's promise. That was the key to all of our relationship with God, is faith that believes not just, it believes Him. It's more than believing the words. It's believing the person. To where I trust Him, I commit everything into His hands, and He is free to do what He needs to do, how He needs to do it, when He needs to do it. And I'm not going to sit here and dictate or react against what He's doing. That's what real faith is. And so many times, God is putting you and me in circumstances that we would never choose in a million years. We don't like it, we don't want it, and yet God will deliberately allow us to be there so that we can learn how to make the right choice. And then again, what James is going, where James went with this, says that's not even enough, is it? Just doing the right thing is not enough. It's how do I feel about it? Lord, I am so in tune with you that I agree with what you're doing. I see it. I don't even feel it. This is not even emotion. This is where I started to go with when I was talking a few minutes ago. I'm not waiting for an emotion. And when he's talking about pure joy, he's not trying to work. He's not talking about working up an emotion, what I'm trying to say. I'll get it out eventually. He's not talking about working up an emotion. I don't have to feel this to say, to rejoice and to say, thank you, Lord. Lord, I will rejoice. I will choose to consider it pure joy. That's how I'm going to view this, because I'm learning. You're changing the way I'm thinking. My thinking was stinking thinking. It was the kind that's just so attuned to this world. That's all I could see, and all of my values were in accord with that. I'll tell you, the world does not begin to understand the things of God. Do you know they're not capable of understanding it? Do you know that I don't care how well you explain it to somebody whose mind is just natural in their thinking, and let's say God's not even talking to them, you can't explain it to where it will make any sense. The preaching of the cross is to them who perish, what is it? Foolishness. God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. He has fixed it to where I don't care how smart somebody is in their intellect. They can never figure out the things of God, and yet a little child, God can speak to their hearts and they can know things that that genius doesn't know. I want to be in the position of the child that says, Lord, I know who you are. I trust you. You have made yourself real. I've had an encounter with you, and you're on the inside here. And my life is not in my hands, it's in your hands, and I'm trusting you. I'm actively trusting you, and I know you got to do stuff that I would prefer you didn't do on the natural. But Lord, I choose to rejoice and to give you praise and to trust you in everything that you are doing. All right, let perseverance finish its work. Why? So that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Anybody here reach that yet? No, I haven't either. But I'll tell you, the Lord knows how to bring us down that road. I'm so thankful. Look at the price he paid. Look at what he gave up, everything. And that's what he calls upon us to do. Thank the Lord. You know, I've had several scriptures, and I don't have any particular order. But how many of you remember the familiar scripture in Hebrews 12? I'm just going to refer to it. You know the scripture, but how we're to run the race with patience, with endurance. But where are we supposed to be looking? To Jesus. Why? He's the author and the finisher. He's the one who gave me the faith to begin with, and he's going to take that faith and complete the job. But it's more than just looking to him as a resource. I need to look to him as an example, because what was it that motivated him on the cross? The joy that was set before him. I know there was anguish, because he cried out, Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? There was genuine anguish. Wouldn't there be under those conditions? Incredible suffering. But yet there was something that carried him through that, enabled him to look beyond that. Are you able to look beyond what you're going through right now? Do you see God's hand and actually say, thank you? You think that might be a good thing? But see, here's the writer of Hebrews 12 saying, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised its shame. I don't care about that. If this is what it takes to get to that, it's worth everything. Bring it on, Lord. I know you'll give me the strength to go through it. But Lord, I'm going to rejoice. I am not going to judge my circumstances and feelings by earthly values and earthly thinking. I'm going to remember that you are calling me out of this, that everything I value, that people value here, is going to be gone. It's going to be burned up. It will be utterly destroyed along with the world. But there's something real. I'll tell you, if this isn't real to you, you need the Lord. You need to be born again. That's what we talked about last week. Because I can understand where someone from the world and someone who's grown up thinking about from the world's point of view, and God hasn't really revealed this to the heart. This does sound like, this is nuts. This is totally nuts. Pie in the sky, by and by, is one of the ways they love to put it. But you know what Paul quoted from the Old Testament, if I can remember the quotation, eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. So he's talking about the natural man just has no capacity to understand what this is all about. But what? God has revealed them to us. How? By his Spirit. That's what it takes. It's going to have to be a revelation to the heart for any of this that I'm saying this morning to make any sense at all. God's going to have to make it real in here to where we understand that though we cannot see this kingdom, though we cannot see our Savior, though we cannot see what is to come with these natural eyes, it's more real. It is becoming more real than what we do see and what we touch. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. God is calling us out of one kingdom into another. Thank God. So Jesus was a perfect example of someone who went to the paid the ultimate price, and yet he did it with a joy in his heart. Praise God. What an example for me. Because, you get older and you get tired and, okay, got to put one foot in front of another. All right, oh, poor me. Nobody here would ever do that, right? So you can just help me. You can straighten me out on this. Everybody here does that and feels that way. Everybody here, if the right thing in your life were touched today, would you be joyful about it? Or it's quiet. I have a habit of saying things that make people go quiet, but that's not me. That's the Lord saying it, and he's saying it to me just as much as he is to you. I'm so thankful for God's mercy and God's mercy to every one of us. I thought about a scripture again that we use so many times, but it really comes into play here, and that's in Philippians chapter 4, because it's not just what he's saying, but again, it's a new attitude that needs to go with it. Because if you're just miserable in your spirit, in your Christian life, you think that's what God wants? He wants us to be a people who rejoice and who are thankful and just looking forward to all that he's doing and looking at life and saying, this is passing away, and you've given me a brand new heart on the inside. Thank you, Lord. Well, Paul is writing here, and I guess it would be good to back off and talk about Paul. Let's think about who's writing this. This is a guy who has been in prison for years. This is a guy who has been beaten many times, and I mean they stripped him down and tied him up and just took rods and beat him to the point where he was bloody. Many times. This is the price he paid for what he did for serving the Lord. He was in danger from robbers. There was one time they took him out in the streets of the city and stoned him. And it looked like he was dead. And so they dragged his body out of the town and left him and walked away thinking, Paul, that's it, we're done, Paul's dead. Well, the Lord wasn't through with him, and so Paul got up and went back in with some of the disciples, and then they sent him off to the next town. Now, a lot of us would say, yeah, I'm done. That's enough. It's time for me to retire. Somebody else to take over. But Paul faced all those kinds of things and so much more.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.